Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship as we gather in the season after Pentecost, and a special welcome to those of you joining us from home. We are blessed that we could be one body together despite distance. Also, to recognize and thank the Ragazzi Boys Chorus, who are here today providing us our special music as part of PickFest, as we continue with our worship. I invite all who are able to stand as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace, I invite us to take a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for our sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace, and your words of justice and mercy reshape the world. Mold us into a people who welcome your word and serve one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you.
The first reading is from Jeremiah 28. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people, the prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times, prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet, the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Romans 6. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin has no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are no longer under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the forms of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever even gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. One verse out of those three verses that were our Gospel reading. When Jesus is speaking to his disciples and sending them out, that we've had for the last few weeks, here is the conclusion of it. Sending out in the world, and Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." Welcome. It comes up 8 times in 3 verses here. And we talk about welcome an awful lot at this church. It's one of our benchmark principles. In fact, in the opening page of your bulletin, if you ever look at that, where you could see our welcome statement, it's there every week, right at the top. It's also on the plaque on the wall out in the narthex. It was passed in 2009. I'd invite you to look at it right now. I'll read it for you. It says, "We affirm that Christ has made us one body with many members, all sharing in God's wondrous grace and unconditional love. We celebrate both the human variation and inclusive unity of God's family. Following Jesus' example, we embrace all of God's people, regardless of ethnicity, physical or mental ability, marital status, sexual orientation, gender identity, or economic circumstance. With welcoming hearts, we invite you to join us in worship, fellowship, and ministry." Printed every week in your bulletin. And I know some of you were involved in the drafting and affirmation of that statement. And I know you really spent time in those conversations talking about what it means to be welcoming. It's not just saying all are welcome and then going along merrily doing whatever it is you were doing before and assuming other people can, you know, you don't mind if they're around. Instead, I know you talked about this welcome being an action verb. Something we are doing to create the space to show that those who join us really are part of this community. And we talk about it a lot. After all, it is one of the hallmarks of Jesus' message. When Jesus went and spoke to the world in first century Judaism, he talked a lot about the coming of the kingdom of God. You might have noticed he never defines the term. And the reason is because people around him did not actually disagree at all with what the kingdom of God was or that it was coming. Where the problem arose is when Jesus started talking about who was going to be included. Now Jesus was at odds with his world around him. Rather than the religious elites, he said the kingdom of God was for the poor in spirit. Rather than the important and noted people, it was for those on the margin who were often neglected. It's the radical message of Jesus we speak about frequently, a radical message of welcome. Who is included? Jesus was insistent that all are indeed included. And they weren't included as people who were just allowed to follow around Jesus, but empowered as important and valuable members of the community. All are welcome. We say it so many times. But today in our gospel lesson, Jesus does something that I don't think we talk about as often. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me." Well, who's the you here? He's speaking to the ones he's sending out into the world, to the disciples, to go proclaim Jesus' message of grace and love. And most all, read this speech or discourse in Matthew as not just instructions specific to those 12, but to all who are sent out. All followers of Jesus, all who are being, in the language we like to use, the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. In short, all of us who are the baptized, who are the churched, all of us. And then Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me." So now, which way did the welcome go? We usually assume that this whole welcome thing that we focus on is we, the church, are to be welcoming those from outside. That's true, but in this passage, Jesus flips it around. Now you, disciples of Jesus, are to be the ones who are welcomed. We, the followers of Jesus, were to be welcomed by others. The standard script that we hold so precious has been turned round. And I actually think sometimes that could be harder. We talk a lot about hospitality, and we really laud those who show radical hospitality, who give generously, lavishly, without discrimination. We tell all kinds of stories of those in our lives who are exemplars. Think of my grandparents that way, whom you couldn't come in their vicinity without being given something to eat. It was just a sense of welcome always. And we love the cheerful giver. But what I don't think we talk about as much is us as receivers. That part of being the hands and feet of Jesus is not just sharing grace with others, but receiving grace from others. We talk about the skill of learning to be welcoming to others, but less frequently, the skill of learning to be welcomed by others. But you know, all these times we like to talk about grace, about being means of grace. The word grace actually means gift. Before Jesus, it wasn't especially a spiritual word. It was just a word, gift. It's the dynamic of giving and receiving. What we actually give or receive in any situation, the real gift is rarely the content of what's given. Sometimes it is, but for the most part, it's not. The real gifts we give in life are hopefully some value, but what's really being exchanged is the relationship we have with one another. When I give a gift, I'm saying, I care about you. This is one expression of that care, but we're in relationship of some kind, built on care and love. And if that's true, if it really is a relational aspect, then giving and receiving are really the same thing. It's a dynamic relationship that goes backward and forward. Different expressions, but the same care. And that, I suggest, is part of what being welcomed means. Jesus says, whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Later, Jesus defines what that welcome might look like. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. A cup of water. It's not a lot. In fact, most of us probably could go find our own cup of water. And in the ancient world, water wasn't as abundant as it is now, but it still wasn't that hard to come by. What was the gift? What was the hospitality? Well, it's really not all that much at all in content. But what is being said is that I care enough about you to give it to you. That we are in relationship, the two of us. And when we, being welcomed by others, what are we saying? Receiving a welcome. We're saying, I affirm you have something to give me that's worthwhile for my life. It's a statement of value. It's saying, I want to be welcomed by you. I want to be embraced and welcomed because I want to grow from my relationship with you. I don't want to simply get something from you, or I don't want to follow you around with you doing your thing and I'll just kind of be there. No, we're saying, I'd love it if we could grow together in relationship. You've something for me. Let's be present together. I think that's the skill of being welcomed. And this welcome that Jesus talks about, this way in which we are the ones welcomed by others, you'll notice it doesn't say something that I think we often think about with welcome. It doesn't say, if these people welcome you, then they'll agree with everything you're saying and convert and become Christians. They might, I suppose, but that's not what Jesus is talking about with welcome here in this passage. Here it says only they give you a cup of cold water. People who disagree with you very deeply can give you a cup of water. That relationship we have with others that begins with a gift and a reception doesn't include agreement at all times. It just means we're able to love and care about each other. And it also suggests we do value you and you value us, even though we very well might disagree with one another. It wasn't the water that was given. It's the very relationship we can have together. And so in our gospel reading, Jesus' disciples are sent out to share grace. That's the whole context of the passage. To give something. To proclaim who Jesus is in the world. But what that looks like might not be what we expect. Rarely it can look like what I'm doing right now.
someone speaking to a whole bunch of people. But more frequently, it's not. It's giving something. It's receiving something. Welcoming and being welcomed. It's the foundation of simply just being in relationship with one another. And sometimes I think that can be hard. Because sometimes, maybe many times, depending on our circumstance in life, we might not feel very welcomed. We could feel isolated and alone. We might desperately want to be in some relationship with others that just isn't happening the way we'd expect, especially if we're talking about it in words such as Jesus uses. To that, Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." The relationship you can have with others isn't just the relationship between you and another person. It's also about one's relationship with Christ, both mine and theirs. In our welcome statement we started this sermon with today, we talk about Christ having made us all one body with many members. If we were to write a being welcomed statement, we'd start from that same place. We are a body of Christ. And as frequently as we talk about the various members of the body of Christ in all our diversity, which is kind of what our welcome statement emphasizes, there is also the unity that we're all one and together in the one Christ. Jesus works in and through us all the time. And so just as we could be welcomed by others, we are also welcomed by Christ himself. No matter the interactions you have on a daily basis, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, many times pretty neutral, no matter what they are, in Christ, you are always received and always welcomed. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for the next hymn.
With the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. We pray for the church, for wisdom to heed the voices of prophets in our midst who cast a vision of God's promised future, for courage to welcome people whom society rejects, for resolve to serve all in need. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for creation, for all rivers, lakes, oceans, and streams, for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, or wildfires. We pray especially for the wildfires in Canada, those fighting it, those whose lives and homes are endangered, and everyone in every place experiencing bad air quality. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this nation and all nations as we celebrate our national holiday this week, for presidents, governors, legislators, for judges, juries, district attorneys, public defenders, for military personnel, for those who are incarcerated. Guide us in ways of freedom that promote the common good. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, for all who are seeking employment, seeking housing, or seeking grounding and security, for those who are ill, in recovery, or in any kind of pain, for any near death, and for all who grieve. We pray especially this day for Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Doug and Jody Martin, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, Gary Wolf, for several of the family members of David Joe. For whom else or what else do the people pray? God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for all the saints and prophets who have received the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. May their lives of humble service inspire us in faith and comfort any of us in the midst of grief. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I'd like to invite you to stand up and share that peace with one another and wave to all of those joining us from home that peace is for you as well. A few quick notes about our life together this week. You see at the end of your bulletin two things. First is beginning next week and then for the duration of the month of July, we're going to have a special season of creation.
This is something that we did last year, but in pieces, like a week in May and one in June. This year we're trying something different. That is, 4 weeks together we'll be giving thanks to God for God's creation. We'll be having some space to reflect on what has been lost in natural disasters and the joy of God's restoration. This will be something we're doing with Central, United and Emmaus, the CUE churches, all three together. And you'll see some different people coming through here. Some of us as rostered leaders will be kind of moving through the different churches. And then you'll see there's some activities. So during that block of time from the 9th to the 30th, on the Saturdays, we're going to have activities. So the first one is June 15th with a kind of a nature hike on Mount Pisgah, Luther Wood Service, Information Day the 22nd, and then a litter cleanup on the 29th. So a variety of things going on. We'll let you know more as it arises. Second thing to announce is that directly after service, anyone seeking individual prayer, please head over to the chapel. Our prayer ministers will meet you there and provide prayer for you. So for those who have interest, please take advantage of that. With those quick announcements, let's continue our service with our offertory.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same way also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle to the floor and receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then intinct or dip it in the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come.
I invite all who are able to stand.
In the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. And actually, if the congregation would be seated, I'd like to invite forward our Eucharistic ministers who are here today. And for those of you who aren't aware, the Eucharistic ministers are people with who have received a little bit of training and have agreed to bring communion to some of our members who can't be here. And every month, the first of the month, we send them out. Some will be at the second service. And we give thanks to them. If any of you are interested in becoming a Eucharistic minister, please talk to me. Having consecrated the elements of bread and wine, we give thanks and praise to God for our Eucharistic ministers, and we ask God to guide them in their serving so that our brothers and sisters in Christ who receive the gift of Holy Communion may also be strengthened for their journey and kept in God's grace. Let us pray. God of all life and all good, bless your servants and those whom they serve. Make your presence known in your Holy Supper, so that all who share in this meal may be fed and nourished with the bread of life and drink from the cup of salvation. This we pray through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Marla. I invite the whole congregation to stand and receive the benediction. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Amen. Amen. Before the dismissal, We're so thankful to have the boys' chorus with us here today, and Thomas Wade, their director. Would you join me in thanking them for leading our worship? Now go in peace, share the harvest. Thanks be to God.